1 Corinthians where it says, all things are permissible for me. I can do whatever I want. You as people, you have freedom of will and choice. You can do as you wish. But recognize that Scripture also says under those verses, but not everything is beneficial for you. Not everything is going to help you. Not everything is going to move you forward in the kingdom of God, and not everything is going to bless and help others. And so as we have finished this book of Judges, in those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. We've got to realize that that was the reason for the cycle that Ken had been talking about. Israel does evil, God disciplines Israel, Israel serves some other people because God lets them be in some sort of captivity. Israel cries out, God comes and raises up a judge to redeem them and to save them, and they get saved and they praise God and live in his presence for a period of time, and then Israel does evil and it goes on the cycle. And it is very easy to just feel like, wow, this is such a downer. This is such a downer. And I suppose some points that Ken made last week got me thinking, and while he was making those points, I was actually writing this sermon. So I'm sorry, Ken, I was listening to what you were saying, but it just got my mind going. But the points I want to highlight that you did say was in your section 3, point A, B, and C. It was judges are models. That was from Judges 9. It was also that there is halfway discipleship. That was Judges 11. And there was also spiritual renewal, Judges 13. You all remember that, don't you? Because you had all written all that down. That's right, wasn't it? No. Okay. Can I encourage you? Have you got your notice sheet this morning? Have you got your notice sheet? Can you open it to the back? What's on the back, Rod? Or what's near the back? There's a bill. No, there's a piece of paper with lots of lines on it. Can I encourage you to get a pen? And if you don't have a pen, can I encourage you to bring a pen to church with your Bible? Because there are going to be some times where when you get somebody like me up here, I am going to just give you some verses this morning because I really feel that God wants us to look at some passages from his scripture that are just going to give us some hope and assurance that we aren't always just stuck on this cycle. We aren't always just stuck on this cycle. There is a way to get off the treadmill. There is a way to get off the treadmill. And so I want to encourage you to have your pen ready because I'm going to give you some Bible verses. I probably won't always give you a chance to look them up. I will read them for you. But what I feel God has been saying to me and what he was crying out to me as Ken was just finishing off and concluding on Judges there, yes, the judges were a model. Who were they a model for? They were a model for Jesus Christ. They were prefiguring Christ. They were showing what God does for his people. God saves his people. But we now live in the New Testament where we know that God sent Jesus to save once and for all those who call upon his name. So they were prefiguring and modeling for us Jesus. Jesus as our Savior. Jesus as our Savior. And the challenge is, are we at a point where we are not halfway disciples, but we are disciples of Jesus Christ? That we are living and praising him, that we are living for him and living in him and living the way he wants us to live. And if we're not, the question was asked last week, right at the end, we need spiritual renewal. Where are we at with our spiritual renewal? Do I need renewal? Yes, I do. And I can tell you I need renewal every day. I need renewal every week. And I know some people who came to prayer time on Thursday would have looked at me and gone, this man needs some renewal. Because I didn't feel like being there. I didn't feel like being there. I didn't feel like praising God. I didn't feel like getting on my knees and calling out to him. I just felt like wallowing in my self-pity and in my struggles and in what I was thinking in my head, what was going on. But we need renewal. We need constant renewal. We need to be changing. We need to not just be satisfied with where we are, but saying, God, I want more of you. God, there's more of you. I want more. We need to be like a spoiled little child in a lolly shop and going, I want the lollies. Give them to me. There are these sweets that Jesus offers to us. There are these beautiful things that God blesses us with through Jesus Christ. And we need to be like a child in that lolly shop and say, I want some of that, and I want some of that, and I can't get enough. Or do you feel like you've had enough? Never. Never. Good. Then what I'm going to do for you this morning is, I believe what the Lord has simply encouraged me to do is to say to you, Jesus, the judges were a model, but they're a model for Jesus as our Savior. And what is it that Jesus gives or does that the judges couldn't? What is it that Jesus gives or does that the judges couldn't? And so I am just going to go through a list of things, and I'm going to give you some Bible verses, and I want you to take them home, and I want you to meditate on them this week. Because I'm not going to give one of my usual sermons where I tell all sorts of stories and I make you laugh and I do all that kind of thing and you're just so enthralled. I'm going to give you the Word of God today and just say, take it home and read it. Take it home and dwell upon it. Take it home and meditate on it. Because I believe God wants to say, we are not in the time of judges, we are in the time of Jesus. We are in the time of Jesus. The time of judges has passed. And what we are going to be doing is we're going to be going into the book of Ruth. And the fascinating thing about the book of Ruth is that the book of Ruth is looking at some great things that were actually going on in the time of judges. But I sort of want to just do something in between. Rod's going to start us into the book of Ruth, but I just want to help us to focus. What is it that Jesus gives or does that the judges couldn't? And the first challenge here is that we need to pick up where Ken left off. We need to look at renewal. And in Romans 12:2, it says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His pleasing and perfect will. Do not be transformed, but be renewed. There is a renewal that needs to go on. There are times when we slow down and we get into the treadmill of our life and we begin to get caught and we forget that we've got to be transformed. We forget that it's a lifelong process. We forget that the Word said to live out your salvation. You need to work out your salvation. It isn't something that just finishes once you become saved. It is something that is a lifelong process that we need to say, God, keep working with me. God, keep working on me. And one of the best things He can do is to change our thinking. Have we got stinking thinking? Or are we looking for the renewal of Christ in our minds? Because when we have that renewal of Christ, we can look at things in the way Christ wants us to look. In Isaiah 55, 8 to 9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So my encouragement for us this morning is, can we start challenging our mind to get out of the physicalness and the difficulties of the way the world wants us to think, or even religiousness wants to think, into a renewal thinking that says, I want to think the way Jesus wants me to think. I want to be filled with the Spirit and encouraged in the Spirit and thinking in the Spirit and seeing things in the spiritual realm, not just here in the physical. Because what happened for the judges, what happened for the people of Israel in that time is they kept looking around them and kept seeing the world and they kept being influenced by the world. But we have to be transformed. We have to renew our mind. We have to think the way God wants us to think. And that is Jesus. So what is it that Jesus gives or does that the judges couldn't? The first thing is personal salvation, eternal life, once and for all. That is what Christ gives us. Where do we get that? We simply have to look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's what Jesus offers. The judges offered a temporary salvation, and it wasn't personal. It was a national kind of thing. They led them out into a victory of a worldly kind, but then the people didn't have to make personal decisions. What salvation is about is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and saying, this is once and for all. I am saved. Nothing can change that. When we accept that, when we ask Jesus into our life and he says yes, because he says yes when we ask, he says yes and amen, and he glories in heaven, but yes and amen, that it is through Jesus that salvation comes. John 14 verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. They're verses we all well know. But then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the gift of God. It is through Jesus Christ. It is eternal. It is eternal life. It is salvation forever. And it is once for all. Once and for all. Isn't that awesome? When we look at judges, we see them going on this cycle, over and over again. Here comes another judge. Here comes another savior. Here comes another one. We're doing it again. No, you have this once and for all. It is personal salvation, eternal life once for all. That is through Jesus and Jesus alone. What is the next thing that Jesus gives or does that the judges couldn't? Forgiveness and cleansing from sin. For the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God, eternal life. We are cleansed from that sin. That was Romans 6:23. But Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We have forgiveness of sin. It is washed. We are washed clean. We are washed white as snow. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. We are cleansed and forgiven of our sins. And I find that awesome. Because if there is one thing that people love to do, and you only have to look in the news and you only have to look at the papers to see, when people get into any point of prominence, what is it that everybody looks for? Something to pull them down. As soon as they go in, people are immediately digging into their past and going, hey, but you were like this. Hey, you did this. Or hey, you said that. But the reality is, in Christ Jesus, we have personal salvation. It is eternal life once and for all. And with that comes cleansing of our sins and forgiveness of those sins. Totally forgiven. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. Nothing more to be done. Jesus died on the cross for our forgiveness of sins. That is awesome. That is awesome. Nobody else can do that. Next thing, what is it that Jesus gives or does that judges couldn't? He gives us a perfect example. Something that Ken mentioned last week was that they were a flawed role model. They were a flawed model. It couldn't help for the long run. It couldn't be forever. Why? Because they were flawed. They were only human. But what does Christ give us? Christ gives us a perfect example. Have you got your pens ready? Here we go. Matthew 16:24-26. And it says this: Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. He was such a perfect example that he said, Do as I do. Say as I say. Live as I live. Come, follow me. Be my disciples. In other words, come and live with me and see what it is in me that you need, and live by my example. John 13:13-15, it says, You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. He sets an example, and he is a perfect example for us to follow. The judges, well, if we look at them and we begin to look at the faults and the struggles that they had, we go, I don't want to be like that. Yes, I want to pick a little bit out. You know, I want to pick a little bit of Samson, and I want to pick a little bit of Gideon, but I don't want the whole lot because they were flawed. Jesus doesn't have a flaw. Spend some time in his word. Look at his word. Look through how he lived through the New Testament, through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Look at what he did and say, here's my example. I am going to live the way he lived. I am going to think the way he thought, the way he thinked. I was going to say thinked. Think the way he thought. Do what he did. And it actually says, you know, when we do that, that we may even do greater things than he. Whoa, that's amazing. 1 Peter 2:21-23. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Who is that? God. Jesus sets the example. He says, no matter what is going on, no matter what the struggles, do you trust your Father? Do you trust God? Because that's what I do. He set the example, a perfect example, that you should follow in his steps. And Philippians 2:1-7, Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who is our example, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. There is so much in the scriptures that encourage us, live as Jesus lived. Do as Jesus did. Read the word. Read what was going on. Read what was happening. And then put it into practice. Because that is what Jesus offers. He offers a perfect example that nobody else can. He says, follow me. Follow me. Personal salvation, forgiveness and cleansing of sin, a perfect example to follow. What else can Jesus offer? He offers abundant life. Abundant life. Nobody else can offer this. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or have it abundantly, or other verses. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There is abundance of life. It is life to the full. We don't just have to survive. Whereas with the human judges, if we look to human example, if we look to people or to things, what we find is something that isn't abundant. It is something that fades away. When we look to the natural, eventually it fades away. But what Christ gives is forever. It is abundant and it is overflowing. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is. What he also offers to us, which others couldn't, is a fullness of victory. He helps us to be overcomers, not just over one little thing and not just for a short time, but he says when he talks about victory, it is victory that has no recourse. It is victory that we can't go back on. In 1 John 5:4, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. We are overcomers in Christ. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. This is the victory. It is through Jesus Christ. I love that song. Victory I have in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, for he was crucified. Wholeness in every part of me. Deliverance, his life has set me free. I'm reigning upon, and I've gone too high. And so I'm going to stop right there. I started too high. I shouldn't do that, should I? We are overcomers. We have the victory. The problem when the judges, they won little battles, but they never gave them the victory. They won battles, but there was never the overcoming victory. And we can see that because when the judges weren't there, then they went backwards. The reality is Jesus is always there. We always have his victory. We are always overcomers because he never leaves us. And he never forsakes us. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. None of the judges could say that. They overcame armies. They won battles, but none of them overcame the world. Jesus has given us the victory because he overcame the world. What is it? What else is it that Jesus offers? He offers guidance. He offers guidance. When you have the perfect example, then you have somebody who says, this is the way you should go. Not only does he offer the guidance, but especially through his word. And passages like Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light unto my path. Psalm 5:8, lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. He guides us. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will lead you. And that is there forever. We have the word. We have it here with us. One of the problems that the judges had is they had elements and they had portions and they had themselves and then they faded away. And people began to go, where do we get our guidance now? Where is it we get our guidance? Jesus is our guidance. Jesus is our guidance. Psalm 25:9, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. What else does Jesus offer? What have we got so far? Can somebody tell me? What have we got? Somebody call something out. Salvation. We have salvation. Good. What else? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. What else? Yes. Yes. Fullness and victory. Overcomers. What else? Guidance. Also, there is another thing that he offers. He offers something that nobody else could offer. He offers a future and a hope. Nobody else can offer a future and a hope like Jesus can. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Oh, Jesus is the embodiment of that. He gives us hope and a future. When in a world there is no hope, and it looks like when we look at the news and we look at the headlines and we see and go, well, what is the hope? There are parents today who are starting to raise children and they look and they go, I don't know whether I want to bring children into this world. There is no hope. There's no future. That is wrong. That is wrong. There is a hope and a future. It's salvation and life eternal with God. And Jesus is the one who offers that. One of the things I realized when I was preparing this is that, and when I do my scripture lessons, is sometimes we use the word Jesus and we use his name and we use it in conjunction with God the Father and the Holy Spirit and recognize Jesus is God. So when we say Jesus as the Savior, yes, as the bodily form, he came and he saved us, but it is God through Jesus. So there are times when we can take passages from the Old Testament and we can apply them to Jesus because Jesus was the absolute fulfillment of them. But it's through God. God is Jesus. Jesus is the Spirit. The Spirit is God. They are God. God is the one who offers these things. He offers a future and a hope. And that is what we need today, because in a world there is no future and no hope. What else does Jesus offer that the judges couldn't give? And it is wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. He gives us wisdom. He doesn't just give us knowledge, because knowledge puffs up. The word says knowledge puffs up. And what knowledge does is, and that's one of the biggest problems we have today, is people have way too much knowledge. They have their phones, they can tell you the answer to anything so quickly. The problem is they don't have wisdom to go with it. Because wisdom brings understanding of knowledge. Wisdom brings understanding. And we need the wisdom of God. We don't just need more knowledge. So sometime turn your phone off. Sometimes turn your computer off. Pick up your Bible. Read it and say, God, give me some wisdom. God, deal with me. Jesus, be the wisdom you have promised to be, because I need wisdom. It's one of the greatest things that I can see in this world is we have a whole lot of people who know everything now. And you can't teach them anything. Even in the churches, even in our churches, people know everything. And it's so dangerous. We need to have humble hearts that will say, teach me, Lord. Teach me. I need your wisdom. I need to know how to apply this word. I need to know how to put it into practice in my life. I need to be able to live it. The judges could not offer that wisdom. Colossians 2:2-3, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Whoa, what a passage. Should I read that again? Colossians 2:2-3. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is through Christ. Nobody else can offer that. Nobody else can give you that. We need it in Christ. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given, and it will be given to him. If anyone lacks wisdom, ask. Because God is the one who can give it, and it comes through Jesus. James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That is what God offers us through Jesus Christ. Pure wisdom. Peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere. Whew. No man can offer you that. No man can offer us that. Wisdom and understanding that can only come through Jesus Christ. And it can only come through time. Can only come through his love. And love, they often spell T-I-M-E, time. When we spend time with Jesus, when we spend time in his word, when we spend time meditating on him, when we give him that time, then I believe his wisdom and understanding can just fill us and overflow us. What is something else that Jesus gives? He gives strength. He gives strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me what? Strength. When you are facing the wall, when you are facing the army, when you are facing something that is insurmountable, Christ says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength, which is Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The judges could not give people that individually. The judges led them in that. The judges led them through in battles, and God won the victory. But God, through Jesus Christ, has given that to you individually now. It is yours. It is an individual thing. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. So he gives us strength. But there is another thing he gives us. Even in the midst of the battles of this world, he gives us peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. We have to recognize here that peace is not the absence of strife or war or trouble. Peace is the inner strength and the inner confidence and understanding that says it's okay. God is with me. It is okay. He is there. Nobody else can give us that peace, that kind of peace. I do not give to you as the world gives. No, because what the world gives fades away. What the world gives is impure. What the world gives is tainted. What the world gives is not whole. What the world gives is only part. Christ is the only one who can give a full peace and a full assurance of what we need in him. Just two more things. Whew. Have you finished your page yet? Yeah? You've gone over to page two? Good. You've got a bit to meditate on this week, haven't you? I hope so. Because I believe as we enter into the book of Ruth, I believe God wants us to be focusing on those things that even though in the world around that Ruth and the book of Ruth was written, there was a lot going on, a lot of darkness, a lot of struggle, a lot of pain as we saw in the book of Judges. But even in the midst of that, there was some awesome stuff going on. And even in the midst of this world, I believe God wants to say to you right now, through Jesus Christ, you can be that shining light. You can be that beacon of hope. You can be what Christ wants you to be as you let his love shine through you. That is what he's calling us to. The last two things that Jesus gives that the world could not give, that the judges could not give, is freedom. Freedom. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." Nobody else can really do that. How do we know that? Because when we look at the book of Judges, we see that cycle. They were never actually free. They won some battles, but they never got free. They kept falling in. They kept going on. They kept struggling. They kept looking at the world and going, oh, I still want. They weren't free. But it is through Christ who sets us free. Jesus is the one who came to set the captives and the oppressed free. John 8:36, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is not just a short-term thing, it is a long-term thing. When he sets you free, you're free indeed. The penalty has been the penalty has been paid. The price has been paid. It doesn't have to be paid again. We are free. It's good, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 3:17. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," or freedom. But we don't come back to 1 Corinthians where it says, you know, that we're free to do whatever we want. And so therefore, whatever we want, we can do whatever. What are we free? We're free to praise God. We're free to choose to be what God wants us to be. We're free to live in victory and overcome. We're free to be guided by him, not by the world. We are free. Galatians 5:13-14. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself." We are free to love like Christ loved. We are free to love as Christ loved. The world can't do that. The world loves for selfish motives. The world loves to get. We can love like Christ loved, to give. That's a freedom that the world can't give. What else are we receiving? What else do we have? And it comes from that verse again in Luke 4:18, where it says, "In the recovery of sight for the blind," we receive healing. We receive healing. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's Isaiah 53:5. By his wounds we are healed. We are not crushed. We are not pierced. We are not held down. We are not overcome. We are overcomers. We are healed. He brings healing like nobody else can bring healing. 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds you have been healed. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and we receive the recovery of the sight of the blind. They are verses that encourage us that whatever happens in our life, we can be healed. And you might say, but hang on, there are some things that don't seem to happen. There are some things. Please understand me here. We are talking in Christ Jesus. This is eternity we're talking about. Whether it happens right here and now in 1 minute, or whether it happens in 10 years, or whether it happens when we pass on to be with him, we are healed. This world cannot hold us down. This world does not have the last say. But yet he still says we can stand and say we are healed. And he does encourage us to pray for one another for healing, because he is the God that heals. And finally, there is something that Jesus gives and something that he offers that nobody else could. He gives us the Spirit. He gives us the Spirit. John chapter 14 all the way through to John chapter 16. Have a read of it. That is such a powerful section of Scripture where Jesus is saying to those that he is leaving behind, it's okay. It's okay. I am not going to be with you, but I'm leaving you the Spirit who will dwell within you. And what does he tell us about the Spirit? He is our helper. He is our comforter. He is our counselor. He is our strength. He is our enabler. He is our teacher. He is our guide. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is with us. All of this is done by the grace of God, freely to each of us, offered through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go home. Have a think about it. Contemplate it. If you have struggles, bring some of these passages before the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't want to have these struggles anymore. I want to understand what it is that Jesus has done. I want to understand how Jesus is different to anybody else. I want to see that he can do what nobody else can do. It is by the grace of God. If we could turn out all these lights, please, Dominic, and we have a video that we would really love you to play. And I just want to encourage you as we close our service. I don't want any of us to go home the same. Because I don't want to go home the same. I don't want to struggle with the same things I struggled with yesterday. I want to be an overcomer. I want to be guided by God. I want to have my eyes open. I want to see what it is he wants me to do. I want to see the victories won. I want to understand the fullness of salvation in my life. I want to understand how his cleansing takes all my sin away. I want to understand how my past is no longer so relevant that my future is lost, because it isn't, because Christ has won the future. He has overcome the future. I want to go home different. I want to go home seeing the world different. And I want to encourage you to do the same. But for every one of us, I believe that there are things in our lives that do hold us back. There are things that as we look in the mirror, we see a tainted image. We see images like the judges. And we go, hang on, I can't make it because that's me. But I want you to see Jesus Christ. And so we're going to show you a video clip. And I just want you to listen, and I want you to watch, and I want it to impact you like it impacted us. And then we will pray.
There's got to be more than going back and forth, from doing right to doing wrong, 'cause we were taught that's who we are. Come on, get in line right behind me, you along with everybody, thinking there's worth in what you do. Then like a hero who takes the stage when we introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless.
The cross has made you flawless.
No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless. Could it possibly be that we simply can't believe unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap him up in righteousness? That's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless.
That's what it's about. It's about Jesus. It's about what he offers to us. He makes us flawless. We look at the physical, he doesn't. He says, you are flawless. He says, I have it for you. I've done it. I've won it. You have it. Take it. Live it. That's what it's about. And so we're going to stand and we're going to sing together that this is who he says we are. This is who he says we are. I can't remember the full words. There is love that came for us, humbled to the sinner's cross. No, this is, which song? Who You Say I Am, please, Dominic. Yeah. Let's stand and sing this, and as we sing this, let's make it a prayer, and let's declare it, and then we will have morning tea together and encourage one another in this. But if there is anything that you feel that is pressuring you, or something that has been said or read from this morning that you feel, hey, I want that to be real in my life. I want that. I need that and I'm struggling with it. And I want somebody to support me and encourage me. Then please come and we will pray for you. One of the elders and myself, we will happily pray for you and believe that Christ will help this to be enacted in your life. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? Hallelujah.